Well, hello everybody. My name's Toby Haydock, and my one-man show, Moths Ate My Doctor Who Scarf, is, I'm sure, available in bargain buckets everywhere. But for now, I'm eking out my time hanging around watching Doctor Who with the people that made it. And it's a delight to be joined for this episode of The Web of Fear by...
I'm Roger Bunce. I was a cameraman, a very junior cameraman on this episode, and now a very elderly cameraman.
And Ralph Watson, I had the privilege of playing Captain Knight.
Now, Roger, I'm not a very technical person, but I believe that the cameras here are on a periscope.
Yeah, well, they're on half a periscope. In those days, we had some very clever mechanical engineers who, if you wanted something for a particular effect, would just make it. They were fantastic. And some genius, probably Dougie, decided the way to give the impression of being sucked out of the spaceship was to put everyone on a slant so that they appeared to be sliding downhill. Now, you could have built the set on a slant where you can't, because you couldn't straighten it up again quickly enough afterwards. And you couldn't really tilt the cameras in those days because they were big, heavy things. So we had 45-degree mirrors stuck to the front of the lens, which were intended to be half a periscope for looking straight up or looking straight down. But we found that if you swivel them at a wonky angle, they made the set slope. And to straighten the set up again, you just rotated the mirror, so it is now looking perfectly at 45 degrees and everything looks normal. Except, of course, you're looking at a mirror image, so everything is back to front. But that's all right, because they electronically reverse it back around the way it should be. And there's just a point here where the shot becomes misframed, and I'm looking for it now, which I'm sure is because the poor old cameraman is actually having to look at right angles to where the action's happening. The action's happening to his right as he looks ahead. And I think I missed the moment, actually, but it was just a slight misframe that only a cameraman would worry about. But I'm sure it's a result of you're still shooting through mirrors up to this point. You can't take the mirrors off until we go to film and we get a bit of a break.
Yeah. So even though it's a straightforward scene, you're having to use the methodology from the previous...
Yes.
That's a great shot with the light of the TARDIS.
Oh, then we cut to film, and now this is where the camera crew are taking their mirrors off.
Because it would have been played in during the recording.
These days, the pre-recorded film would be cut in post-production and the studio crew would probably never see it until it went out. In those days, because everything was done as live, the film was played in... Can't call it live, but it was played in through the studio.
It was counted in, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, it was counted
filming
in.
Filming coming in, you know, and see...
There's an eight-second count. Run till it's in it. It takes 8 seconds for the film to be at full speed, and then you can... Vision Mixer can cut to the film.
And you had to run about the studios in other things other than this. You know, get from this location to that location so that when the cameras were set up...
Yeah. While this is going on, all the cameras and actors are repositioning for the next scene. And then you're all hovering, waiting for the outward on the film to start acting in immediately.
The cables were so heavy and the cameras were moving, so you had to be adept at
leaping over
the cables, yes.
Sometimes while acting... You had to go like this so that your upper body didn't move, but your lower body moved.
You're traversing the cables.
Yes.
Brilliant.
That's much what we have to do with handheld cameras these days. When you've got them on your shoulder, you want your shoulder to move in a straight line, and your legs are doing all sorts of strange things, you know, to get over rough ground.
Well, you've been bought quite a lot of time because this is quite a lengthy film sequence to open the episode.
And it's a brilliant film sequence.
It's like a horror film.
Yeah. One of the things you find when you're working, I don't know about an actor, but working as a cameraman, you're constantly thinking about the shot you're on and the shot that comes next, and you can't think about anything else, really, because you're so on edge. Will I get to the next shot? Never worked on rehearsals. Let's hope it works this time. So you never get a chance to stand back and get a feel of what the overall programme's going to look like. The exception is when you see the pre-recorded film, because here you've got something that's already edited, the effects and... music has already been added. Lovely music, actually. And you look at this and you think,
Julius
this
looks
one
just
is
like
scary.
Bronowski, who was his science jobs on the box at the time.
Playing the standard mad scientist. Yes. Bronowski is the model, really.
he is, isn't he?
It's Bronowski glasses.
I think he's supposed to be Jewish, but they haven't made it entirely clear. This scene was supposed to be filmed at the National History Museum, and that didn't happen in the end. So a poor old actor, Desmond Cullum Jones, who was one of the back row Dad's Army lot, was hired to play a commissionaire, and then his part, as often happens to an actor, vanished. So he didn't end up being in it. But he'd already done a Doctor Who. He'd been in the War Machine. So he still has his name on the Doctor Who roster.
Another condemned man. Yes.
But the look at the focus pull on this is brilliant. That you've got the out of focus stuff in the back, and these two in sharp focus. And the music is Bartok.
That's right.
And it was used by Stanley Kubrick in The Shining as well.
Oh. I spent a long time tracing it when this was rediscovered. I thought, oh, that's lovely music. Because it was also used in the previous serial, wasn't it?
It's used in the Enemy of the World. Yes, when the Doctor, when
Which
Salamander
Bartok
goes.
Is it? It's not the Miraculous Mandarin, it's something else.
No, it's got a very musical type, something like Music for Celeste and Strings or something. Yeah, yeah. Yes.
And it's very rumbling and terrifying.
Yes.
And I mean, health and safety, nightmare having all these naked candle flames in a museum, but it does add to the atmosphere. I mean, all those priceless stuffed giraffes he's got would get singed if he persist with his candle